We are in Nisivo Shalom and Parshat Chayisara on page Kuf Lamed Dalet in your packets, page 42. The piece Kinyan Ma'arat Amach Pela La'achuzat Kaver. The Parshat Gvurat Sarah, the Ma'arat Amach Pela V'Kinyana Miyad Efron. Anu Motziim Sha'atara Kedusha Shotiotea Sfurot V'Chol Teva Ba'Kedusha. Maricha V'Chol Seder HaKinyan U'V'Fratei HaDin U'Dvarim Ben Avram L'V'Nechet. If you open up this parsha, you read the whole first paragraph in this week's parsha of Chayisara. When you hear this paragraph which goes through the purchase of Ma'arat HaMach Perah and the burial of Sarah, we find that the Torah Kedosha, which doesn't waste a letter, forget a pasuk, forget a word, doesn't waste a letter. It counts every letter because every letter is Kadosh. It goes on and on and on for like 20, 30 psukim about all the details and all the back and forth between Avram and Bnei Chet and what he responds to them and his purchase of Ma'arat HaMach Pelah, like, to say. And Sarah died and Avram bought Ma'arat HaMach Pelah and buried her. The end. One pasuk, maybe two, I'll give you three. What's going on? What's this whole back and forth? What are you getting from this thing? U'pashtut yish lavin. Shereza Hemsheikh Lehada Torah Biparshiot Elu Mesaperat Alachesed Shel Avram Avinu. And on a simple level, we can understand that this is a continuation of that which the Torah is going on in these parshas and telling us about the tremendous chesed of Avram Avinu. She'av Parshat Vurat Sarah Bichlal Zed, that even the burial of Sarah is included in this. Lulamed al Godel HaChesed Shelo. This is just the tremendous chesed of Avraham. Shegamal lo rak im hachayim, ela afiv hametim. That it gives not only to the people who are living, but even to the people who are dead. Shehishtadel bikvurat Sarah, bikvod ra'oila. That he's working to make sure that Sarah is buried with the proper cover that she deserves. Velo ratza lekabel b'matana et makom kivurata. He isn't willing to accept it as a gift. Shehishpa pechitut kavod. It's not as much kavod. Uvikesh davka liknoto bekesef male, avor lischor kidei ligmol ima chesed shel emet b'shlemut. It's not enough for Avram Avinu. Meaning, one answer is on a simple level is that the Torah here is teaching us in these parshas, the parshas of the avos, teaching us about the midas of the avos, the essence of the avos, and the primary midah of Avram Avinu is the midah of chesed. The midah that's coming out over these parshas, lech lecha vayira chayisara, it's bringing out in fullness, it's fixing, it's Avram fixing the midah of chesed in the world. And this is the end of that process. It's part of the end of that process. That we're seeing that Avram Avinu is going. And it's not enough for him to find a burial place for Sarah. That Avram Avinu needs to go, and he's saying it's not enough. He's going back and forth, and he's not going to stop until he mamish buys the whole thing and spends the money to as full price, nothing held back, nothing. Would Sarah have known the difference? Was an issue of shalom bayis? No. Sarah passed away already. And the chesed shel emes that's going on here, the pure chesed, with no strings attached, there's no strings attached. Sarah isn't going to be happier or more sad or nicer or more appreciated. She's passed away already. Chesed shel emes. Chesed shel emes. That on a pshat level, which even started the piece yet, but on a pshat level, he's saying, to show us the chesed of Avram Avinu, that he's not holding anything back. If he's going to get the best place, he's going to get the right place, he's paying the full amount, nothing's going to stop. Halacha l'maisa, to get very grounded, you see these things in real time. You see these things in real life. There was this guy. He has tremendous, tremendous sweetness, tremendous, tremendous chain. You look at him and like he's shining. He's a guy who shines. You see the sweetness in him. A few weeks ago. I can tell the story. I don't see why I can't tell the story. I was in the gym. I was working out in the gym, and he walked in. So the way that it works is that in leave, so I'm the one who kicks all the guys out of the gym because they're supposed to be in shir. And then once I kick them out, then I get the gym to myself. It's a perfect union right there. I kick them out, and then I get to use the gym. But the madrichim can come in, or guys can come in, or if they're like, you know, soldiers or whatever who are back, in normal times even, who are like back just from their army service for a few days, like it's open to anybody except for the guys who are supposed to be in shir. And so, and I recognized him, I said, hey, he looked familiar, a little bit familiar, but I didn't know who he was. So I said, what's your name? What are you doing here? No. And he started talking, very sweet, soft-spoken guy. And he said, yeah, I'm back from the army. I said, were you, you know, on the front lines? Like, were you like, actually like in the Mamshin war? And he said, yeah. I said, they sent you back? This is before the soldiers started to come back and start going back and forth. He said, yeah. I said, why? You see a person who's like ebbing light and you're like, yeah, it makes sense. His job was to sift through and find anything that needed to be buried. Anything that needed to be buried. That's chesed shalemus. He's in the army. There's different fronts to the war. There's different fronts in the army. He's there to find any single thing that's left behind to make sure it gets buried. There's no Jewish neshama that gets left behind like that. No part of a Jewish body that gets left behind. And I said, why are you back? He said, the army says it takes a psychological toll, so they rotate us out 1 week in, 1 week out, to not do 2 weeks at a time. And now he's still staying by us for a while. And at Baruch Hashem, they haven't called him back. And that's a big thing, that they didn't call him back, if you put two and two together. That they didn't call him back. It's chesed shel emes. There's no glory in that. You don't come back with the gun over your shoulder. You don't come back talking about your... You can't even tell those stories. Chesed shel emes. Nobody even knows. You're just giving. You're giving because you give. You're giving because you care. You're giving because it matters. Chesed shel emes. Avram Avinu, his wife passes away. You don't cut a deal on the burial plot. Avram says, I'm going to Chesed shel emes. She's my wife. I'm going to the nth degree. I'm going to as far as it goes. I'm not stopping. And even when this guy who's just said, I'll give it to you for free. No, I don't want to take it free. How much does it cost? 400 shekels between two friends. What? 400 shekels between two friends. And Avram chucks. 400 shekels is a ridiculous amount of money. It's a stupid, ridiculous amount of money. Right? Shh. It's a ridiculous amount of money. Shh. Everybody can come in. Just don't interrupt the recording. Just don't interrupt the recording, but please come in. Shh. All the Mefarshim point out. Shh. Come on back. All the Mefarshim point out that when he says 400 shekels, he was giving him an overestimated price. Not only giving him an overestimated price, he was saying, this is what I want for it, and this is what I'm going to take for it. And Avram doesn't bat an eyelash. He pays for it. Why? Makes no difference to Sarah. Chesed shel emes. And it's bringing out a whole other layer, each one taking out a whole other layer. Who is Avram Avinu? His whole life is chesed, his whole life is giving. It doesn't matter. His whole life is giving. There's no thought about it. Little bit of a shift. Obviously not parallel cases. Like that was a very intense case. Obviously not parallel cases. We're a week after... Well, I'll get to you in a second. We're a week after the yurtzeit of Rav Shlomo Karlbach Zatza. Shlomo Karlbach, so my Rebbe, whenever Shlomo Karlbach would come to Eretz Yisrael, he would travel around with him. And he has stories from literally traveling around with Rav Shlomo when he would come around to Eretz Yisrael. And he would tell stories like, he said that he would just watch him go and play at a concert. And after he would get paid to play at a concert, he would get paid. They just give him an envelope of money, put it in pocket. He said he watched him with his own two eyes. Watched with his own two eyes. A poor person would come and say, Rav Shlomo, I'm really sorry, I'm so poor, I don't know what to do. He says, watch him just put his hand in his pocket, didn't even count the money, just handed the guy the envelope. The whole thing for the money. What does it mean to give? What does it mean to give without thinking? What does it mean to give without, again, not in an unhealthy way, chas v'shalom, not in a healthy way, but to give without any borders, without any boundaries, to live Avram Avinu just to give. Avram's teaching us what it means to give. But it means to be a Baal Chesed for real. No cheshbonot, no calculations, no back and forth, no discussions, to just give. Just give.
And here he's just giving. Chesed Shalemus. The last couple lines of the paragraph. The last three lines of the paragraph. He says, Alkein ha'aricha bazeh ha'torah lelamed al shlimut midat ha'chesed. The Torah is going on and on here in order to teach us the fullness of the midah of chesed, shel Avram Avinu, shegamal chesed imachayim vechesed imameitzim. He would give chesed to the those who were alive, those who were dead, it didn't matter. He's only giving. Only giving. That's what he's about. Next paragraph. V'yesh la'avin od, We can also understand that when we look at the nuances of the language of the pasuk, and we look at the nuances of the language of the pasuk, nimsa shinoi bein divrei Avraham ledivrei Benechet. There's a distinction. There's a difference between the way that Avram speaks and the way Benechet speak. The children of Chet speak. He's going back and forth with. Shavraham mevakesh mehem kol hazman melashon tnuli achuzat kaveh. He keeps saying to them, "Give me a place of inheritance to bury her." Ve'ilu bnei chet mashivim belashon kever. They talk about just a burial place, not this inheritance, not holding on to this place. They just refer to it as a kever, a burial plot. B'mifchar kivrat kivareinu kvoret mitecha. Ish mimenu et kivro lo yichle mimecha. They keep responding to him and saying, take a kever, but not an achuzat kever. Avram keeps emphasizing, I want an achuzat kever, not just a kever. What's the meaning of that? What does that mean? V'haynu. Ki etzlam inyan ha-kvura, kefi ha-tfisa shel goy she'en ha-kever el ha-makom ha-ra'oy, litzmon bo et guf ha-meit ad shiyeh le'ayin. Because it's a totally different understanding between a non-Jew and a Jew of what a burial plot is. By a non-Jew, he says, what is a burial plot? It's a place you put the body in order for it to be there until it disintegrates. It's a place to put the body. Final resting place. That's for a non-Jew. The Ilu Avram Avinu. But when we talk about Avram Avinu, who understands what's really going on, Midaber al achuzat kever. By him, it's an achuzat kever. Hityachasut likvura hi ki'ein. He's relating to this burial place as something that's kadosh. He understands that there's a kedusha to the burial site. What's going on? How do we understand that? Avram Avinu hayarosh lechol ha'ma'aminim. Avram Avinu was the first of the believers. He was the first monotheist, the first one who believed in one God. His job was to mamish spread emuna throughout the entire world. He's spreading emuna, knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the other world. If he has a tent, there's four doors. If he has bris milah when he's 99 3 days ago, he's barely listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's just looking for guests. That's his whole life. To bring somebody in, to talk to them, to schmooze with them, to show them there's one God. To spread HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. To spread knowledge of godliness in the world. And in particular, belief in Tchiyas HaMeisim. Belief in the fact that, yes, there is a revival of the dead, that when a person passes away, that's not the end of the journey. It's one stage in the journey. There's a reality of Tchiyas HaMeisim. There's a reality of the revival of the dead. And that was part of the meaning of when he's talking to Bnei Chet. Lafit et ha'emunah, to build within them emunah. In the fact that the soul continues on, that when a person dies, the body dies, but the soul lives on, and the soul is going to come back. There's going to be tchiyat ha-meitim. There's going to be revival of the dead. And that's why he keeps emphasizing that it's not just a kever, it's an achuzat kever, because it has a unique meaning. Ki ha-neshama shel yehudi hi nitzchit. The soul of a Jew is forever. The soul of a Jew is eternal. And it needs to be, the body of a Jew needs to be placed somewhere that's unique, that's kadosh, until that neshama can come back in Tchiyat HaMeitim.
Umishum kach, and because of this, gam bikesh Avram davka liknot et hasadeh bekesef malei. It's for that reason that he said, no, I want to pay full price. I'm paying full price for this land. She'im keder ba'alma laguf hamet efshar lekabel gam et matana. If it's just a place to put the body so you can receive it as a gift, who cares? Aval achuzat kever v'tzorech kvuratol sheyudi. Meaning there's an understanding that there's a significance to what's happening here. It's not just a place to put the body. It's not just a burial plot. It's not just a grave. That when we go and we're burying a body, when a person buries a body, that there's an understanding, there's an internalization, there's a recognition that this is a temporary resting place to take care of the holy body of a Jew that we're going to need again. Because the neshama goes on, the neshama is eternal, and the neshama is going to come back to this body. And that person is going to live again. And so it's not no gifts. A gift implies, okay, fine, it's nice, it's good, thank you, whatever, put the body there. No, it's a big deal. He's got to own it, he's got to connect to it, he's got to bury the body there, it's very serious. Because the person's going to come back. And it was a way of emphasizing, even going through the process of burying his wife. He just lost his wife. Even in that process, he's still spreading the emunah on Tchiyas HaMesim. He's spreading emunah on HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Tchiyas HaMesim. I talk about this in the other shir, which I don't get to give here anymore, in Chumash. That one of the distinctions you see by the burial of Jews and non-Jews, when a non-Jew goes to visit the spot where a body's buried, what do they leave by the grave?
Rocks.
No. Flowers. Non-Jews. Flowers. What do Jews leave?
Rocks.
It's like, really? Jews come with a non-Jews come with a beautiful, gorgeous bouquet of flowers. And we're like, I brought a stone. I found it over there. It's like, really? Why? Why? Like, what's that about? One answer given to that question is, very beautifully, that it reflects our understandings. The flowers that are brought are beautiful. And you put them down, and they sit there, and what happens? They wither, they die, they disintegrate, they're gone. That's what a non-Jew is, because that's their understanding of this body. It was here, it withers, it dies, it's gone, it will never be again. It's very, very significant. We leave a stone. A stone which represents continuity, eternity. Consistently going and going and going. When you, Emir Tashem, hopefully soon you'll get to start exploring more broadly and widely Eretz Yisrael again. You go up to the north, like in the springtime. There's such a beauty to Eretz Yisrael when you go to the north. When it's in bloom and you see the trees are alive, the mountains are blooming, there's so much life and it's gorgeous. But it comes and goes. There's different seasons and it comes and goes, and there's a tremendous beauty to that. I got to go on Yam Liyam when I was in Mashan Aleph, where you go from the Kinneret to the Mediterranean, you walk across the entirety of Eretz Yisrael. It's amazing. And towards the top, where it's a little bit more narrow, it's a little bit of a shorter journey. It's an amazing, amazing thing to do. 3 days out there, going from one side to the other. And you live in that beauty, and it's one type of beauty. At the same time, Mashan Abed, I got to go down before it became like a whole resort, which I don't appreciate. Back when it was just simple and beautiful and just in its natural state, I went down to Mitzpeh Rimon. When all that was there, the yeshiva is still there. Yeshivat Mibarak Eden is still there. But back... No. Mitzperamon. Down there. Back then, when I went 20 years ago, it was a bunch of caravans. Now it's like a huge, gorgeous building. But back then, it was a bunch of caravans. There was no klita. There was no cell phone service. It was nothing. And you sat there and you just... Now it's like tours of the... Like, you just went and you just looked out over endless deserts. My point here is that it's a different type of beauty. There's the living beauty of the north in the springtime, but there's a whole different type of beauty if you ever had a chance to go and you just see. I got to go when I was in high school. I went on a trip that took us to Utah to see the Grand Canyon. Again, not Eretz Yisrael, but it's still beautiful. But you see, there's a different type of beauty to that, which is simply just like, it's there, it always was there, it always will be there. It's just this consistency that we relate to with the stone. That's one of the reasons why we react the way we do when we go to the Kotel. We're looking at these stones that showed us that we were here, they've been here, they're still here, they'll be here. And the shir that I usually talk about this in Chumash, we emphasize from Rashi, brings it out, that Evan is a conjunction of two words. Rashi brings down from Unkus. Evan is a conjunction of two words. Av and Ben. Aleph Bet, Bet Nun. You put it together with the two, you join together the two Bets, you get Evan. Av and Ben. Father and son, which is continuity. This the nature of continuously passing down and going forward. That's what a stone is, continuity. And when we go to a grave, Jews bring a stone. We say, yes, there's a body here. And the soul continues eternally. And it will come back to the body also. The process isn't over. This is part of the eternal process. And he's emphasizing that. And even going through the pain of the loss of his wife and buying the burial plot for an obscene amount of money, he's still like, yeah, but I could teach them about Tchias HaMeisim. I could teach them to have Emuna. This is where Avraham Avinu is coming from. And teaching us also. Takes it to the next step. Uvieter amkut. He says an even deeper level. We're adding layers and layers. At an even deeper level. Yesh la'avin al pima de'ita b'svarim ha'kedoshim. We can understand based on what the svarim say. She'nachalah nimseit birishut goy shorea le'a tum'ah. The svarim ha'kedoshim, the holy svarim claim that land that exists in the ownership of a non-Jew, that there's a level of tum'ah on that land. The goy ha-machzik nachala be'eret Yisrael goreim la-hashra'at ha-tum'ah al-eret ha-kdosha. And a non-Jew who holds on to land, not just any land, but land in Eretz Yisrael, causes there to be a reality of tum'ah, of impurity, on the holy land of Eretz Yisrael. And the only way to return Kedusha, holiness, to that land that is owned by that non-Jew, and therefore has a level of tuma, spiritual impurity, it has to be purchased with the full amount. That if you get it as a gift, the tuma doesn't leave, the spiritual impurity doesn't leave. V'rak al yidei kinyan b'kesef malei over la'socher, only by paying the full amount, top of the next page, kuf lamed hei, nitan l'salek et ha-tum'ah mimakom zeh sheyachzor v'yitkadesh b'kedusha ta'aretz. Only then does the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael fully come back in. V'Avraham Avinu lo ratza likbor et Sarah kedosha be'eretz tum'ah. And Avraham Avinu, he's not going to bury Sarah in a tamei land. He's not going to bury Sarah in a place where there's tumah. It's not acceptable. No way. Al kein bikesh l'shalem b'kesef malei ovor makom kvurata kedei l'salek misham et tumat ha-goyim. So therefore, he said, I'm going to pay the full amount to get rid of the tumah of the non-Jews. V'rak achareichem kavar Avraham et Sarah ishto el marat stei ma'achpela. Only after he bought it for full money, the kinyan was done, the acquisition happened, then he would bury her. Because he wasn't burying her unless it was in Holy Land. The Zesha Maskir Achuzat Kever, and that comes back to the term Achuzat Kever, says the Disciple Shalom. Shemakom Kvuratat Tzarich Gam Hu Liot Kadosh. That the place needs to be Kadosh where she's buried. V'tzarich Mitchila La'asir Heimenu Etat Tum'ah Ha'amim Al Yidei Sheiknel Tabekesef Malei. Again, adding a layer here, and I think this relates back to the first paragraph. This need to do it fully. There's no cutting corners. This Chesed Shel Emes and going to the nth degree, and no, there's no stopping. There's no way. Until I get to the best way possible to bury her, I'm not burying her unless it's the best place, the best spot, the perfect spot, fully purchased, totally owned, totally kadosh, then I'll bury her. Chesed Shel Emes. Odish Lavi, another angle he's bringing out here. Looks like the final one since we're almost at the end of the piece. Odish Lavi, betam sheyimain Avraham b'matana ubikesh dafka liknot b'kesef malei. The fact that Avraham refused to take it as a gift and was determined to pay the full amount. Hu kimosha k'mamar hakatuv v'sonei matanot yichyeh. The pasuk says in Mishlei, "Sonei matanot yichyeh." Only a person who hates gifts, a person who hates gifts will live. What does that mean? Shekol davar shebekedusha tzarich liyot bekesef malei umatanahi davar sanon. It needs to be anything that's bekedusha needs to be fully paid for and not as a gift. A gift is mamish, it's hateful. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm going to let him talk a little more and then we'll open it up. V'ukedi'ita b'chazal, Chazal say, Shekayam Avraham Avinu et kol ha-Torah kula ad shelo nitna. That Avram kept the whole Torah even though it wasn't given. He kept the whole Torah. He didn't have the Torah, but he kept the whole Torah. Shelech ora minayin yada ha-Torah. Where did he know the Torah from? If he didn't have the Torah, how could he possibly have known the Torah? Ela shekayem et kol ha-Torah al derech ma'amar ha-Katuv. He kept the whole Torah based on the Pasuk. Vasita ha-yashar v'atov b'nei Hashem. He did whatever was straight and good in the eyes of God. His focus was on doing whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and in doing whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's the whole chap of the Torah, that's the whole purpose of the Torah. The Torah is teaching us, Torah Milashon Hora'ah. It's teaching us, it's instructing us, it's guiding us to do what? What God wants. And even though he didn't have the Torah, he lived his whole life figuring out and then doing exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do. So he was mamish living the whole Torah. Ukimosh Pireish Harav HaKadosh HaMagid HaGadol MiMezrich, as the Magid MiMezrich says on the Gemara, Tshuvat Hillel LeGer Shebikesh Yemenu LeLamdeni Kol HaTorah Kula Al Regel Achat, the famous story of the person who wanted to convert and said to Shammai, teach me the whole Torah on one foot, and he threw him out. And then he went to Hillel and said, teach me the whole Torah on one foot. What did he say back? What did Hillel say back famously? So that's a total distortion of the story. He actually said it as follows. The actual words of the Gemara are totally different. He didn't say V'haftel Reyecha Kamocha. He interestingly said something, he said the opposite side of it to the Ger. And one has to understand why that is. What did he answer him? Madisani alecha lechavercha lo ta'avid. What is hateful to you, to your friend, don't do. Not love your fellow like you love yourself. Madisani alecha lechavercha lo ta'avid. Whatever is hateful to your friend, don't do. So two things about it. One has to understand why Hillel's response wasn't V'haftel Reyecha Kamocha. And he only says in the negative. That has to be understood. Instead of just whitewashing it and just saying what we wish he said, Hillel knew what he was doing. He dafka said that and didn't say V'haftel Reyecha Kamocha. That's number one. Number two is he doesn't quote it here, but that's actually not the end of the Gemara. What does he say to him? He says, I'll tell you the whole Torah on one foot. Madisani alecha lechavercha lo ta'avin. V'idach zil gemor. That part always gets left out. What's v'idach zil gemor? Now go and learn the rest. Meaning, you asked me to tell you the whole Torah on one foot, so I'm telling you it's somehow all encompassed in the phrase, ma'adisani alecha lechavercha lotavi. One foot, I did it. Good, we're good to go. But now go learn. Now understand why the whole Torah is a parish to that concept. Leaving that out is critical. One, it's not what he said. Two, it's not the end of what he said. He said something different, and what he was saying was, okay, good. You wanted the big klal? That's the klal. But you want to understand all of Torah? Now that I give you the klal, you have to go and actually go and learn all the details and understand what Torah is about. That's not the end. That's only the beginning. And after all of that explanation of the Gemara, the Nesi'ot Shalom is going to throw us a twist. And Nesi'ot Shalom says, what does it mean? What is hateful to your friend, don't do. He says, you're reading it wrong. That's the pshat. But that's, I'm going to give you a deeper understanding, says the Nesi'ot Shalom. It's not what, his response wasn't what is hateful to your friend, don't do to him. Hear what he says so beautifully. This is life. All Torah on one foot. This is life. Upiresh. Lichavercha. Not what's hateful to your friend. Milashon chibur. Not friend. Milashon chibur. To cling, to connect. Kilomar. My desani alecha lehitchavrutcha im HaKadosh Baruch Hu zot lo ta'avi. What is he saying? My desani alecha lechavercha. What's not what's hateful to you for your friend? What's hateful to you? What's negative to you for your chibur, for your connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's hateful to you and what will distort, what will take away from, what will reduce from your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That don't do. Everything else is a perish. What's all of Torah? What's all of life? Connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything else is details. That's the Aleph Beis. Whatever's hateful to you for your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't do. And we've talked about this in different ways even over the last course of the last few months we've been learning together. Right? If we just walked around life with that mentality, with a mentality like that, or like the other variations of that that we've discussed over the last few months. Every moment of life, is this going to bring me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is it going to take me away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is it going to have me mechaber, cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is it going to distance me from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That is the fundamental question, that if that guides your life, you're leading a life of Avraham Avinu. That was how he lived. He couldn't, in this presentation, he couldn't keep the whole Torah, because he didn't have the whole Torah. So how did he keep the whole Torah? His whole life was this question. Is this what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? Is this bringing me closer to him or pushing me away from him? That's it. That's all he cared about. Is this what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me or not? And that's what Hillel's telling, that's what Hillel's telling the Ger. If you think it's going to push you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't do it. Do the other thing. Everything else is details. Everything else is an explanation of that concept. That was Hillel's claim to the non-Jew. This is the klal, this is the general principle for all the Torah and all the mitzvot. Kimamarakatuv, like the Pasuk says, bottom line, what to do? Moshe Rabbeinu, towards the end of the Torah, bottom line, Vasita hayashar v'hatov b'nei Hashem. Bottom line, do what is good and straight in the eyes of God. That's it. And to be clear, it's not saying make it up on your own. It doesn't say, okay, ignore the mitzvot, just try to be the best human you can be, and then you're doing just fine. No. You have to do it dafka through the Torah and through the mitzvot as they're presented. But ultimately, what's the goal? It's not a bunch of checkboxes. Ultimately, the goal is to become a person who by doing Torah, by doing mitzvot, by living Torah, by becoming Torah, and by becoming mitzvot, your whole life is just doing whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. You're only thinking, your whole thought process is this what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, or is this what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? To continue with the theme, a little bit of a morbid theme, but we're talking about passing away and death. A story that Rabbi Ravanos tells. I think you're at the stage where you can hear this and hopefully have the kelim to take this in. To hear it and to internalize it. To understand one of the layers of greatness of Rav Nevin Sol Shlita. Rav Nevin Sol, the chief rabbi of the old city of Yerushalayim, one of the Gdoli Hador. So he's part of Zaka, right? Same idea. Zaka is the group that goes around, Lo Aleinu, when there's a pigua, when there's something that happens in the country. And they go and they sift through everything and they find what's the remnants of that are there and they bury everything and they make sure to bury everything properly. That's what Zaka does. So Rav Nevin Sol is part of Zaka. So Rav Amos told the story of Rav Nevin Sol. But there was one time he showed up, Lo Aleinu, after there was a terrorist attack. And he said, and again, I want you to open yourselves up to hear the depth of this story and note your initial reaction and then open up to the other side of this. What happens? This guy runs up to Rav Nevin Sol, he says, this happened and this is over there, and he's going through all these things, and he's like, because it's serious stuff. And he says, Rav Nevin Sol, totally calm, in the face of chaos and horror. He looks at me and says, in Hebrew, he says, stop. Pause. Your tzitzis are out. Take your tzitzis and tuck them in. And then we'll get started. Why? The halacha is that when you're in a cemetery or around Lo Aleinu, people who were killed, dead bodies, it's us to have your tzitzis out. Because the tzitzis out, the way that the Chazal explain it, is that it's uncomfortable for the person who passed away. It's disrespectful that it's showing them mitzvot that they can no longer do. So lach is before a person goes into a cemetery or is by their body, they need to tuck in their tzitzis. Now again, you could say like there's dead bodies all around this. Who cares about the tzitzis? Vasita yashar v'atov b'nei Hashem. And this one was HaKadosh Baruch Hu want. Yes, there's people here who just died. That's not for the point. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, this is part of what it means to care about them. So first thing is, you take your tzitzis and you tuck them in. And in the face of chaos, what is he thinking? What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want? What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want? Everything else doesn't matter. Another story about him.
all with a similar morbid theme tonight. Right, another story of that. That there was one Simchas Torah. He tells these stories back to back usually. There was one Simchas Torah. And Simchas Torah morning, Rav Nevesol just he disappeared. He wasn't there. He just didn't show up. Simchas Torah! Going through all of Sukkot and the Lulav and the Etrog and the Sukkah and gearing up and not. And you come to Simchas Torah, it's mamish, you're explosion with joy and with singing and dancing with the Torah. And Rav Nevesol, nowhere to be found. No worries. Doesn't know for Shacharis. I mean, again, it's like he's not a Shana Aleph kid. We're like he slept in. Like, where's Rav Nevesol? Not Shacharis, not Akafos, not the singing, not the dancing, not Chasam Torah, not Chasam Breishis, not Musaf, nothing. Everybody starts to get a little worried. They start searching for him. Somebody finally finds him. Where is he? Chesed Shalemes, same thing. All in a similar vein. What happened? There was a person who passed away right before Yantif. And the halacha is that you can't leave a body alone. And there was nobody there to watch the body, so who volunteered to sit with the body? Rav Nevesol. All is in the Torah. Everybody's singing. Where is he? He's sitting with the body. And they said to him, Rav Nevesol, why didn't you tell us somebody would have taken over your spot, switched with you, whatever? And he looked at them and was like, I don't understand your question. Why would I look for somebody else? This is the biggest mitzvah that I could be doing right now. Why would I want to leave here? That total laser focus. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want? Vasita Yeshav HaTov. Avinu's keeping, he says here, what the Torah is all about. What Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us at the end of Torah, what Torah is all about. Again, in all those cases, those were all examples not in spite of mitzvot, not in addition to mitzvot, not chas v'shalom lo alinu to the exclusion of mitzvot. Dafka through the mitzvot. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want from me? What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want from me? But he could have been singing and dancing. But he was supposed to get Chasam Torah. But the body is mixed. It matters. I care. Why am I doing all of this in the first place? Again, back to the... In between, you asked, like, what does it do with us? Ask, why am I here? What am I doing here? What am I doing in Olam Hazeh? What's the purpose of Olam Hazeh? Why am I here? To ask that question. To really think about it. To internalize it. Like we talked about last night. To actually do Hitbodenut. To reflect on it. Parshat Chayisar. She dies in the first pasuk. What is life? What is life? To think about it a little bit. What are we doing here? Since we're going through my Rolodex of some of my favorite stories. One of my favorites. I don't think I've told this to you guys yet this year. We'll see. Maybe I did. If so, new light. There was, when I was in Shana Aleph, I had a good friend. And I say that I had a good friend because, as you all know, I didn't really have many friends. So I had a good friend. Sweet guy from Florida. Sparty. So in my yeshiva, they had Sparty party. The Sephardim had their own little separate thing that they did. They had their own little group. They have a tremendous, tremendous gadol who I've told stories about, other stories about here before, about Rav Darmoni. And the one with the two rabbis who would always argue with each other, that was Rav Darmoni, was one of them, if you remember that story from a few weeks ago. So he says to me, he says, Robbie, come on, like, on Friday mornings, we go to Rav Darmoni's house, he gives over Torah, it's going to be great. I was like, I'm white, and also I don't speak Hebrew. Are we sure this is a good idea? I don't know. He said, no, you gotta come. And I'm like, I've only got one friend, so like the stakes were very high. So I was like, all right, fine, we'll go. So I go and sit down in Rav Darmoni's house at his table, sitting at the corner. I will never forget this in my entire life. All the Sephardim sitting there, one white guy. Everybody's sitting there. Rav Darmoni walks into the room. And he's like, deep, holy Sephardic rabbi, like cleansing, piercing eyes. Like looks at you and it's like being in a mikvah. And he looks at me and he goes, in Hebrew, first thing he says when he walks into the room, he
focuses those eyes on me and says, Ma ata osepo. What are you doing here? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die.
What?
And I'm like, I know, Avi is my friend and he told me to come. Ani parol, I don't know. I can't. He goes, no. Ma ata osepo. As though like saying it again so they'd be less nervous. And I'm freaking out. It's like, no. Ma ata osepo.
And as I'm about to pass out, he starts going into a whole drush on, what are we doing here in this world? He just happened to lock on me.
But to think about that, how often do we think, what are we doing here?
To think, what are we doing here? What is the purpose of this world? What is the purpose of this life? What are we doing in this world? How often do we ask ourselves whether it's literally like I was thinking in my very small mind about that room in the old city? Ma ata osepo? Or the big question that Rav Darmoni was asking, which I probably wasn't as scared of, but should have been twice as scared of. The piercing eyes, so to speak, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu after 120. Ma ata osepo? What were you doing in this world for 120 years? Ma ata osepo? What are you doing here right now? Why are we in Olam Hazeh? Why are we here? What are we doing? Why are you in this room? Why are you in this room at this time? Why are you in Shana Aleph? If you're listening, why are you in college? Why are you still at your secular college? Why are you in graduate school? Why are you at the work that you're at? Why do you live in the place that you live? Why are you in New York? Why are you in Texas? Why are you in LA? You all know who you are. Why are you there? Why are you sitting in this place? Why are you in this job? Why are you in this shul? Why am I here on the small and in the large and the microcosm and the macrocosm? Shh. Why are you here? How many times do we ask ourselves that question? How seriously do we know the answer to that question? Why am I in Olam Hazeh? Vasita yashar v'atov b'nei Hashem. The bottom line is to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's Torah's answer. Madasani alecha lechaver chalotavi. Whatever is hateful to your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't do. That's Torah's answer. That's Hillel's answer. Do we have an answer? The answer is right before us. What does it mean to live like that? What does it mean to have a life like that? To mamish live that way. That's what he's bringing out here. Sheyaseh rak ma she'ahuv v'ratzoi lefanav yitbarach. To live a life where everything you do is only what is beloved and is wanted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo ta'avid, top of the next column, last column. V'lo ta'avid, and not to do ma she'eino tov v'yashar v'edei Hashem. And chas v'shalom, to never do that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't want you to do. That's your only question in life, because that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. Ma she'sanoi be'einav yibarach, v'sanoi yitkavrutcha y'mashem yibarach. Whatever is hateful in the eyes of God, and He doesn't want you to do it, it's going to mess up your relationship with Him. Zeklal kolam mitzvot aseh v'lo taseh. The aseh's are doing what God wants. The lo taseh's doing what are. If you keep away from the aseh's, you're keeping away from what Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to do. That's it, and that's life. It's not as simple as again checking boxes, but to live your life through that. That's what it's all about. And he says, and obviously whatever is bad for your connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that includes midos. Purifying your from your negative midos and bringing in your positive midos. Even though, as he talks about in the piece in Bereishis, it doesn't go through all of the midos in the Torah.
Harehim bichlal v'asita yeshar v'atov. They're part of this pasuk. Do what's right and good in the eyes of God. Are you a good person? Would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want you to be hateful? Would he want you to be jealous? Would he want you to be egotistical? Chas v'shalom? Of course not. Am I living my whole life the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to live? Am I living my life as a Jew the way he wants me to live? Shemidot tovot himatov v'yashar b'nei Hashem. That positive midos, that's also, that's pashut, that's part of what it means to be good and straight in the eyes of God. U'mikarvot Yehudi l'Hashem yiparav. And bring a Jew closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ilu midot ra'ot hem tzani lihit chavrutcha. And negative midot, that's against what brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hinei, he says, Mehechan yada Yehudi ma'u atov v'yashar b'nei Hashem. U'ma'enu ratzoi b'nei Hashem. How is a Jew supposed to know what is good and straight in the eyes of God? And what's not pleasant or wanted by God? And what's not good in the eyes of God? HaKlal bazehu nishmat adam tilamdenu. Shnishmat Yehudi hi chelak aloka mimal umlamdato lahargish ma'ahu v'tov b'nei Hashem u'masanoi lefanav yitbarach. He says something very powerful. You know what the answer is? Your soul knows the answer. Deep down you know. Deep down you know exactly what you're supposed to do. It's a very blunt way of saying something which we've talked about so many times in the past, even the last couple of months. How do I know? It's not sure. I'm thinking it through. There's always 100 ways to think something through in your mind. Jews have something much, much, much deeper and raw than their mind. There's a technical term for it. A technical term is your kishkas. Jews have kishkas. When you go and you think about it and you really ask yourself, bottom line, should I really be doing this? Yes or no? In your kishkas, you know. In your neshama, you know. You know what you should be doing. You know what the right thing to do is. And it's not saying that your moral compass is more important than Torah and mitzvot and the moral compass of the Torah. That's not what we're saying. Obviously, the answer is Torah and mitzvot. But when you're not sure which way to go, trust your neshama. It's a part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Trust your neshama. What does God want me to do in this moment? That's at the very least I can say that I dug deep and asked myself that question, and I'm doing what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. And all this comes full circle. V'zeu inyan kayem Avraham avinu et kol haTorah. And that's what it means that Avram was able to keep the whole Torah even though it wasn't given. Shemikoach shikul hadat, shenishmat adam tlamdenu yada bechol davar, ma'u hayashar v'atov b'nei Hashem u'madasari alecha l'itchavrutcha. Just by turning to his neshama, turning to his soul, he knew what's yashar and tov in the eyes of God and what's not. Because he cared. And he stripped away all the layers of ego and self-service and instant gratification and short-term thinking. He stripped all of that garbage away and asked himself with pure honesty, I don't have a Torah. I don't have a guidebook. I don't know. What would God want in this moment? And the neshama guided him to exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do. Again, for us, simple Jews, always only through Torah and mitzvot, but to understand that deep down, the neshama can guide us in that journey. V'inei, gam inyan sonei matanot yichyehu b'chlal zeh. And that comes back to what we started this paragraph with. This concept of sonei matanot yichyeh, that a person who hates gifts truly lives. This disdain for receiving gifts. Shekabalat matanot eina min hatov hayashar. Receiving gifts is not what's straight and good in the eyes of God. V'lachin sonei matanot Ohev hu lifnei Hashem yiparach. One who hates gifts is mamash beloved by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's not explaining it more than that. What's that about? Again, back to our fundamental question. Question of the night. Why are you here? Why are we here? The Mishnah of Pirkei Avos tells us. Why are we here? Adam le'amal yulav. We were born in order to work. We were put in this world to work. To work at what? We talked about that last night. Some people spend their whole lives working to earn money, and also we're Jewish, and also keep Torah mitzvos. Some understand, no, what does it mean to work? Adam na'amal yulam. We were put here to work to become Ovdei Hashem. What is the word? Ovdei Hashem. What's an Eved? An Eved is a servant. A servant serves. A servant works. We were put here to be Ovdei Hashem. We were put here to work.
We'll talk about it more in the context of Derech Hashem, which is what I keep, and I'm not referencing it because we're learning, I'm referencing it because when you have those fundamentals, you understand everything you need to know, which is why we're learning the Sefer in the first place. We'll come back to this more as we learn Derech Hashem.
The whole reason we're put here, the whole reason we're in Olam Hazeh is to work to earn. To use the nice quote that we've used a few times before, that we're not here to be, we're here to become. That's what we're here for. And when a person takes things for free, it's not real, it's not you. You didn't earn it. When you get a gift, you didn't earn it. This world isn't about, we're confused about this world. We're upset. Why don't I have this? And why can't I have that? And why isn't this easier? And why can't I just sit back and relax? You're totally misunderstanding Olam Hazeh. You're totally misunderstanding reality. It's like a person jumping into a gladiatorial arena where everybody's fighting for their lives, and the guy's like, chillax. Anybody got a lounge chair? A lounge chair in a gladiatorial arena is not going to be so pleasant. There's still weapons and body parts flying everywhere. You're in the middle of a war. What are you doing sitting around? It's not that pleasant around. Even you get 5 minutes rest, is it real rest? He's going to talk about it. Olam Hazeh is a war zone. That's what Olam Hazeh is. It's the war between the neshama and the guf, the yitzhar tov and the yitzhar ra, physicality and spirituality. Why don't I get to chill out and rest? Why can't it be easier? You're in the wrong place. Olam Hazeh is the place of work. Olam Hazeh is where you get to enjoy the benefits. So ne'matanot yichye. If this world is the place of work and working to earn, I don't want any gifts. No gifts. Nothing for free. It's not mine. It's not real. I don't want any gifts. My rabbi takes it to the extreme. He literally won't accept gifts. From this pasuk, he won't accept gifts. Whenever me and my friends would ever try to give him something, there always had to be like a way around it. At the end of the year, I think we all went in, and one of the Talmidim went in and got him like a set of Sfarim. I don't know if this was true or not, but they were like, he's like, no, I can't take it, I can't take it. He's like, it's not returnable. They said, we can't give it back. We have nothing to do with it. Then he took it. I wanted to give him a gift one time. My mother really wanted to also give him a gift. My mother's very into photography, taking pictures. And when I was sitting in his house one time, he was talking about it. He was upset that back in the day when phones were different. This is like 800 million years ago, right? He had a digital camera, and his digital camera broke. So I was like, Mom, this is it. I said to my mom, I was like, you've wanted to give him a gift for a while. This is it. Get him a nice digital camera. I said, but here's the thing. He's not going to take it. So I want you to get the camera, and I need you to instruct me to give it to him. So I went and brought him the camera. What did he say? No, I don't want it. It's fine. No, thank you. I said, I have to give it to you. My mother told me to give it to you. It's a mitzvah d'orais of kibbut avayim. I have to give it to you. I was like, I have no other choice. I was like, fine. And he took it. So nimatanot yichye. That's a very literal interpretation. That's a very literal interpretation of the pasuk. Very literal. Very literal interpretation of the pasuk. But what's the idea? What is that the embodiment of? I don't want anything that I didn't earn. I don't want anything that I didn't work for, because this world is to work for the next world where I see my reward. This is the world of work. So and that's, hear the words. Come back to Chai Yisara. So one who hates gifts will what? Will truly live. In this world, the way it was meant to be, because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're working. But where's the true life? Where's eternal life? Chaye Olam Haba. A person who hates gifts and works for everything in this world, yichyeh, they'll truly live in Olam Haba. Because that's what gives you life in Olam Haba, is everything that you accomplished and that you earned. Everything that you accomplished and that you earned in this world.
I see there are a few guys. Let's finish the paragraph, and then afterwards I'll take a few questions. I apologize, keep pushing you off. We'll get to all the questions at the end. He has a few lines left. Back a few lines.
That's why Avram would only buy Marat HaMachpelah with the full amount.
Even though B'nei Chet wanted to give it to him as a gift, they wanted to, but he wasn't going to take it. Meaning, he didn't need the pasuk. They said, "We'll give it to you as a gift." He said, "No, I know. In my kishkas, in my neshama, no gifts. I work for everything that I get in this world and everything I get in the next world. Tell me how much it is. I'm paying for it. I'm working for it. I'm earning it. No gifts." He kept the whole Torah because he asked himself, "What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want in this moment?" And the Torah is coming to teach us this. To teach us this in this parsha. Shashoresh shel kayem Avraham Avinu et kol haTorah kula. That the root of the fact that Avram kept the whole Torah, it all came from Asita Hayashar v'Atov b'nei Hashem. All he would do is every time what is good in the eyes of God, that's what I'm doing. And this again is unique in the realm of midos, which mamash bring a person to cling to a Kadosh Baruch Hu by purifying who I am, not just what I do. And that's part of proper midos is yashrus, is to be straight, is to be clear, is to be honest. To buy something completely, no gifts. I'm going to work for it. It's going to be mine. Ve'areze bechlal v'asita yeshar v'atov b'nei Hashem hakolel et kol amidot atzavot shemeviot yudi l'dekut v'Hashem. This is part of what brings a person to cling to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want from me? And that's the bottom line. And there are so many beautiful things that he said here. Seeing the chesed of Abraham, the chesed of Abraham come out mamish. In Chesed Shel Emes, even people who are passed away, Dav people passed away, who aren't going to give back, we're seeing the Chesed Shel Emes. We're seeing and understanding the desire to teach the whole world, even in that moment, that there's only one God. No matter what's going on, to continue to spread Emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Tkiyas HaMeisim. To only allow Sarah to be buried in a place that's Tahor, to buy it, to make it Tahor. And then ultimately, bottom line, to mamish pay for it because I want to do whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. Kadosh Baruch Hu put me here to work. I'm not taking anything for free. Let's make it happen. Whatever you say, I'll pay you. Like I said before, like my Rebbe said, the Avos teach us how to live, and the last lesson of, in this case, Avram Sara and this Parsha, also teach us how to die. Both sides. To live a lifetime of what it means to be a Jew. And to link into the core of that, the essence of that, which is, why am I here? What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want from me? What's going to connect me from him? What's going to disconnect me from him? If it connects me from him, go for it. If it disconnects me from him, I want nothing to do with it. That's the life of Avraham Avinu. And it's wild that it can be boiled down to that one simple question. That's it. Now go and learn what that means. At the end of Hillel's statement. Now go and learn what that means. How do I actually live that? How do I do that? Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless us that we should all be able to honestly ask ourselves, Ma ata osepo? What are you doing here? Whatever here means to you, whether it's local, whether it's global. To answer that question honestly for ourselves. To dig deep to our kishkas to see what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really want from me, from my life in this world. And through making those choices in this world, guide us to Chayei, to Chaim, life in this world, and ultimately eternal life in the next world. Bezrat Hashem.